the second half of last week. But what's amazing is, as we were worshiping this morning, there was a theme that kept recurring in the worship. And this is how I know that God has something for us. We kept on saying, "We love you, Lord." We kept on singing a love song for Jesus. And today I was planning to share on the topic of love. I didn't have any meeting with Kate or any member of the worship team, but God has a way of just bringing everything together. May His name be blessed. So, what is love? We talk about love. We see love everywhere. You know, we tell people, "I love you." We want people to tell us they love us. But what exactly does it mean? When I said I love you, and you said you love me, what did you mean? All right? I look around and there just seems to be love everywhere in different forms. Everybody talks about love. And it gets me confused, really, because for me, the definition of love is very specific. So when I see people say, "I love you," or when I see people talking and they, you know, tell themselves to love themselves, I'm like, in this context, I don't know what you're talking about. And I can imagine that if you were to speak to 100 people, for example, and you ask them to tell you what love means to them personally, you probably get 100 different responses. So I started out thinking, should we talk about the love of God? Should we talk about the love of the Father? Should we talk about how we ought to love one another? Or how we should love God? You know, but eventually it came down to just that word, love. And as I was preparing, something just dropped on my mind. Sometimes our children, Kiki and David, would come to us and say, "I love you, Daddy. I love you, Mommy." And it's the best feeling in the world. It gives me butterflies in my stomach. And over time, I noticed something. David, he would come to me and say, "I love you, Daddy." And I would be happy as usual. But give it 10 minutes, I would discover why. And it's usually because he hasn't finished his food. And he must have figured out somehow that when I tell him I love him, I know that when he finds out that I have not eaten my food, even though he disapproves, somehow I would have taken him to some happy place where he would, you know, the hammer would not come down too hard. And I'm like, how did you tie all this together, you know? He says, "I love you." But that is what, that is the scenario of "I love you." And then again, I think about when I tell my wife, "I love you." I say, "I love you, baby." She says, "I love you more." And that just makes my day, you know? She loves me more. Oh, that must be something very good. So you can see how, even within our family, two people can say the same magic words, but it means very different things. So what exactly is love? When you look into the eyes of people and you say, I love you, what are you saying? When you hold the hand of a loved one who is recovering from an illness and you say, I love you, what do you mean? When you go to the grocery store and you're very happy and you tell whoever was there, I love your service, what are you talking about? I tried to find the meaning of love. I went to the dictionary, and dictionary meaning of love. Okay, I'm just going to read what I found. So they said, love is an intense feeling of deep affection. Take note of the word feeling. They went on to say, a great interest and pleasure in something. Interest, pleasure. To have a strong feeling of closeness to someone. Feeling, again. And this is where it all gets muddled up, because when people go around and throw the word around, I love you, it's always about feeling, isn't it? It's always about some intense emotions. But what does the Bible say about love? Can we go quickly to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13? Sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I'm just going to read from verse 1. Sorry. Oh, if anyone gets there before me, you can read 2 Corinthians 13 from verse 1. All right, I have it. I'm reading from verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have and I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Now this is a great chapter on love, and I believe that most of us have read this before, we know the words. But the reason I have decided to read through it again is because we can see very clearly here that love has got nothing to do with feelings. Love is about doing. And as I, you know, started preparing this, I said to myself, what could I possibly tell this church about love? Because I see the love in the congregation, I see the love among us, and I see the love between us. But I believe God must have a reason for this. The Bible tells us all the things that love does and all the things that love doesn't do. And one part that really jumps out to me is where it says, if I give away all I have, so it's possible to give everything away, but then you're still not demonstrating love. It's not love. It says, if I give my body up to be burned, I mean, if I was somewhere and I was told about someone who did these things, I would say that they are the standard of love. You give everything up, you give yourself up. So I wonder why the Bible would say, I do all this and I don't have love. It's strange and it's scary at the same time. So we see here that love is an action word. Love is a doing. When I say I love you, I'm not talking about, it shouldn't be that I'm talking about a set of feelings. It shouldn't be that I'm talking about something that happened because I saw you and I just start having some feelings. Love is a way of saying I am committed. It's a way of saying I will do. It's a way of saying that I am willing to give myself up for you. It's a way of saying I want to put you ahead of me. It's a way of saying that your interests will come before mine. So we can't claim to love and do nothing. That we love is shown by what we do and not just what we say or how we feel. So this is just to lay a foundation about love, and it will take us now into the love of God. The Bible tells us about how God loves, and I think we read it last week in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, and the next line is a doing. For God so loved the world that he gave. So God does not love the world and he sits somewhere and he's, you know, in his head thinking about how he loves the world. God loves the world and the love moves him to do something. So if we say we love, we should ask ourselves, what am I doing because I love? What have I done because I love? What am I willing to do because I love? Because I perceive that if we really understand, if we really get the depth of the meaning, we're going to be more careful with the word. Because when the Bible says husbands must love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church, then the husbands will want to think about it more before you just say, I love you. But let's zoom in more on the love of God. Someone puts it this way. God is love. I know we've also heard that before. We know that God is love. And God has existed long before creation. God did not become love after we were made. God has always been love, even before he made us. If that is the case, who was God loving at the time? Who did God love from eternity past before the world was made? And if we won't go there, but if we look at the book of John, chapter 5, if you read from verse 17, the Bible tells us about the relationship between the father and the son. The father loves the son, and the son is always seeking to glorify the father. So a circle is created where the father wants to love the son more, and the son wants to glorify the father even more. So what happens? Someone said, one day God said to the son and said, I love you so much. I have done everything I know to love you. But every time I do it, you make it about me. You just turn it around and it becomes about me again. I'm going to do something that will blow your mind. I'm going to create a race of people whose job will only be to glorify you. And Jesus looks at that and he was like, if you do that, I'm going to teach them not to pray to me, but to pray and say, Our Father in heaven. So again, the circle propagates itself. God shows love to the Son by saying, I'm giving you this awesome gift. The Son says, yes, if you do it, I am still going to bring it back to you. And so we come into the picture. And everything was fine. Until everything was not fine. And you know the story. Sin gets into the picture, and we humans who are supposed to be, Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren, we fell out of grace. And God is like, what do we do? How do we get back into the master plan? And again, it has to be a story of love. He goes around and says, okay, we are going to love these people back into the master plan. And so we know the story again. Jesus Christ comes, dies for our sins, and the Father is waiting for us with open arms. And this is where it gets really important, because God has given us a gift. The question is, are we going to receive the gift? And as I was studying, I realized that there are two types of children of God. The Bible tells us in the parable of the prodigal son about the younger son who says, I want everything that falls to me. And God gives it, the father gives it to him. And then the Bible says, he gathered everything together, okay, and takes his journey into a far country. How often is it that when God gives us what we want, we begin to fall behind in our relationship with him? How is it that God answers our prayers and the answer tends to take us away into a far country? A far country does not necessarily have to be a place. Anything we do, anything we associate ourselves with that takes us away from God is a far country. But that is the one that's obvious, isn't it? If somebody stops coming to church, we can tell. We can see that, oh, we have missed this person. But there's something more sinister going on. And this is the story of the elder son. The two sons were lost. The two of them needed to be found. But it was more difficult to know that the elder son needed to be found because he was right there. He was in church. He was at the father's table all the time. He knew what the father was doing. He was part of what the father was doing, but he was lost. And that is a dangerous place. Because it is very easy for us to think that we are standing. And the Bible says, let he that thinks he stand take heed lest he should fall. It is very easy for us to think, I am right. I am doing it right. I pray. I worship God. I give. And that is why, that takes me back to where it says, even though I give everything, including my body to be burned, I may still not be in love with the Father. And this is something that we really need to think about. It's something that we really need to look inwards and ask ourselves the question, where exactly am I in the grand scheme of things? Now, it's something we will all agree on if I say God loves us. I don't think anyone is going to debate that. But the question is, do we love God? We sang, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. But do we love him? And I will just pick a few points from the life of the elder son, and we can just ponder on them and see how we answer those questions. The younger son comes back home. The Bible tells us that the father saw him from far off. So for the father to see him from afar, the father was the first person who saw him. I mean, my picture of that house is that of a big house where there were servants, where everybody moved freely. But no one saw him coming before the father did. So the father must have been looking out. If the father was looking out for him, and the elder son was that close to the father, he would probably know that there is a sorrow in the heart of my father. Is that not what love does? If you love someone, you would know when things are not right. And so the son comes home, and the elder son comes back from the field, and he heard the sound of music, and says, what's going on? And they said, your father has called a party because your younger brother is here and he has killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound. And the elder son would not go inside. Okay? And here is my thought. The elder son was there the whole time. But when the father came out to him, what did he say? He said, I have been with you this whole time, and you have never given me even a small kid to celebrate with my friends. He wasn't there because he loved the father. He was there because he was expecting something. He was the obedient son who would not go to the father and say, give me my stuff, I'm leaving. But he was patiently waiting for what he would get from the father. Remember, we defined love as being able to selflessly give ourselves, telling someone knowing that the interest of another person comes ahead of ours. The elder son was there not because he was interested in the interest of the father. He was just marking his time. And his motive was to receive and not to show love to his father. He thought because he obeyed the rules, he deserved a blessing. So for some people, it's just about, we have been told to do this and this and this and this and this, and I have ticked all the boxes. So I am going to be in heaven. And the Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. So if anybody is going to be in heaven, it's not going to be because we did it right. It's just going to be because God had mercy on us. The elder son thought his brother's sinfulness was unforgivable. So he knew all the whole time what was going on with the younger brother. Perhaps he knew where the brother was. Because he said, this son of yours who has wasted his living, you're living on riotous living. So he knew what was going on. It didn't come to him as a surprise that the younger brother came back home in rags. He knew what was happening. And he knew that my father wants this boy back. He could have solved the problem. But he didn't think that younger brother deserved forgiveness. How many times as children of God do we look at people and we are thinking, it's so bad. Is that what God is thinking about them? So if we are in love with God, we're going to be thinking as God is thinking. We are going to think that they deserve forgiveness, whom God thinks deserves forgiveness. But that was not the mindset of the older brother. So the older brother was there the whole time, but we see his mind. He resented his father's joy. How could you not be happy when your beloved is happy? If we love someone and they're happy, even if we haven't found out why they're happy, we will be happy. But that was not the case for the older son. So this is where it really scares me, because we need to, and this is a question that we can only answer for ourselves in our quiet place. There is the child of God that is clearly in open rebellion. We know to pray for them because we can see what's going on. And there is the child of God who is praying for that one, but who needs the prayer even more. So this is something we need to seek and think about. And if God loves us, what do we ought to do in return? One of the deepest pains that is known to the heart of man is the pain of unreciprocated love. And we know that we serve a God who has feelings. The Bible talks about the jealous God whose name is Jealous. He describes himself as jealous twice in a sentence. I'm like, okay. He has feelings. And he has only asked us for one thing. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, with all thy strength, with all thy soul. Love God with everything that you have, with everything that you are. So how do we love God? It's by these things. It's by feeling what God is feeling. It's by being happy when God is happy. It is by forgiving. It's simply by looking at the life of the elder brother and not failing in all the places where he failed. Our relationship with our Father should center on pleasing Him, loving Him, and growing closer to Him, even if it means that we don't get everything we want. And there is precedence, as we are in good company, because the Bible tells us about the apostle who kept on praying for God to take away the thorn in his flesh. For God says, my grace is sufficient for you. So it won't always be about getting and getting and forgetting. It will be about giving and giving and forgiving. And I pray that God will help us. We should love Jesus for who he is and not for what he can give us. We should be in love with Jesus. Our hearts should be broken by the things that break the heart of God. And they should also be filled with joy by the things that bring joy to the Father. So, the question is, where are we? Where do we stand? If you were to X-ray yourself on these things we have spoken about today. What do you think? Don't tell me. Do you feel far from God? Maybe you are in open rebellion. Maybe it's a problem of sin, maybe not. Maybe you're not in open rebellion. Maybe you don't just experience His presence as you once did. And you're wondering, is He going to accept me back? Can it be like it used to be? I have good news. Because, again, from the parable of the prodigal son, the father is waiting. The father is looking out. The father wants you back. The father wants me back more than I want to be back. Maybe that's why it's described as the reckless love of God. The kind of love that leaves 99 and goes looking for one. Doesn't make any sense. No human sense. But maybe when we get to heaven, we will understand. But at this point, I just want us to think about it. I want us to think about where we are in our love relationship with our Father. Think about what you have done right. Think about what you need to do right. I will do the same. And I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. So in closing, the Father is waiting with love and open arms for all His lost children to return. He wants you back more than you can imagine. If you will hear His voice today, do not harden your heart. I pray that God will help us. In closing, I will just read from the book of Psalms. I read from Psalm 19, verse 12 to verse 14. Psalm 19, 12 to 14. Who can understand His errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Father, I will thank you for your word. Father, I will pray, O God, that these words will not stand against us on the day of judgment.